choosing the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the National Basketball Association playoffs. The Utah Jazz, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Philadelphia 76ers all scored victories Wednesday night to advance to the second round of the playoffs. The three teams all won their series 4-1. In Salt Lake City, Utah, the top-seeded Jazz beat the Memphis Grizzlies, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
The Jazz have wrapped up their first-round series in 5 games by downing the Grizzlies 126-110. Donovan Mitchell scored 26 of his 30 points in the first half. He also had 10 assists and 6 rebounds in 29 minutes. Mitchell capped Utah's big first half with 2 contested 26-foot jumpers to make it 75-51 at the break.
I think setting the tone was huge. I think we did that as a unit on both ends of the floor. And understanding that you can't give a team like that life.
Jordan Clarkson dropped in 24 points, and Rudy Gobert had 23 with 15 rebounds to help power the top-seeded Jazz to the 4th straight win. Grizzlies star Ja Morant finished his record-setting first playoff series with 27 points and 11 assists.
None of us like, you know, losing. We definitely, you know, didn't want our season to, you know, end the way it did. But, I mean, we have, a lot to be proud of, you know, our fight. We had a, you know, unbelievable season. We achieved, one of our goals.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In New York City, the Atlanta Hawks also advanced to the second round of the NBA playoffs with a victory over the New York Knicks. The AP's Tom Merriam reports.
The Atlanta Hawks advanced to the second round of the NBA playoffs by eliminating the New York Knicks 103-89 in Game 5. After an even first quarter, the Hawks took command in the second quarter, taking the lead 5 minutes before halftime and never giving it up the rest of the way. Trae Young led Atlanta again with 36 points, 18 in the fourth quarter, while adding 9 assists as the Hawks won their first playoff series in 5 years.
This feels good, but I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with just getting to the second round. I'm not satisfied with where we are. I know what this team is capable of.
Clint Capella contributed 15 points along with 14 rebounds. Julius Randle led the Knicks with 23 points and 13 rebounds. Tom Merriam, New York.
Thanks, Tom. The Hawks will next play the Philadelphia 76ers, who eliminated my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, with a 129-112 win in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, Philadelphia won the game without their Cameroonian star, Joel Embiid, who watched from the sidelines with what's been described as a small lateral meniscus tear in his right knee. The team says Embiid is receiving physical therapy and treatment, and he's considered day-to-day. On Wednesday, forward Tobias Harris scored 28 points for Philadelphia.
We held our composure all night. I mean, early on in the game, there's a lot of, back and forth buckets. And we just stuck with what we knew best, and we just rolled that wave the whole night.
Meanwhile, Tobias Harris's teammate, guard Tyrese Maxey, scored 13 points and grabbed 6 rebounds. Tyrese, talk to us about the atmosphere in Philadelphia.
It was amazing. The intensity was great. The fans were amazing. You know, it was cool to see the chess match, like I talked about the other day, of, the coaches, different coaching staffs. And it's very fun. You got to stay locked in at all times, and you got to stay focused, and, we can't wait for round 2.
Thanks, Tyrese. The Washington Wizards are packing their bags after the end of their season in Philadelphia. Washington's star guard, Russell Westbrook, came very close to another triple-double Wednesday night. He tallied 24 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. Westbrook says the Wizards don't need to hang their heads.
We did something that nobody thought we could even do.
in the middle of the season. And with that, we should be proud of the way we played this season. We fought through a lot of ups and downs, adversity, injuries, COVID.
In one more NBA playoff result Wednesday night, the Dallas Mavericks scored a 5-point road victory against the Los Angeles Clippers. The Mavericks were once again led by their young Slovenian star, Luka Doncic. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Luka Doncic scored 42 points and the Mavericks held off the Clippers 105-100. Dallas leads the series 3-2, but coach Rick Carlisle warns there's still lots of work to be done.
But we haven't done anything yet. You know, we've got to continue to keep our eye on the ball, focus on process, focus on, you know, adjustments for game six, and, you know, try to win the first 5 minutes of game six and go from there.
Doncic also contributed 14 assists and 8 rebounds. Tim Hardaway Jr. added 20 points. Paul George led the Clippers with 23.
We're confident we can extend the series and bring this back home. We got to go to Dallas, and it's going to be another hard environment, another tough environment for us to go into, but it's what we got to do. It's the job that we got in front of us, and we got to tackle it.
Kawhi Leonard had 20. I'm Mark Myers.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, and on this edition of Press Conference USA, Atsuko Toda, the acting vice president of the African Development Bank's Agriculture, Human, and Social Capital, discusses how Africa can transform its agriculture sector for increased food security. Listen to Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Duke University's Hall of Fame basketball coach says he will retire in 2022. Once again, here is Dave Ferry.
Duke's Hall of Fame basketball coach is about to hang up his whistle. Mike Krzyzewski will step down at the end of the season. His successor will be former Duke player and associate head coach John Shire. Krzyzewski issued a statement Wednesday saying he and his family viewed the announcement as a celebration. The 74-year-old Krzyzewski has led Duke to 5 national championships, most recently in 2015. His 1,170 victories are the most in men's Division I basketball history. Shire coached the Blue Devils last season while Krzyzewski was in quarantine. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Mike Krzyzewski is certainly one of the greatest basketball coaches in history. And in this Olympic year, let's not forget that Coach K also led Team USA to 3 gold medals in men's basketball at the 2008 Beijing Olympics, the 2012 London Games, and the 2016 Rio Olympics in Brazil. Checking my Sunny Side of Sports calendar, I see we're now 50 days away from the opening ceremony at the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. One of the sports that will be making its Olympic debut in Tokyo is skateboarding. And 16-year-old American skateboarding prodigy Bryce Wettstein has her eyes on the Olympic medals podium. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Maxim Muskalkov tells us more about Bryce Wettstein.
Skateboarder, surfer, student, songwriter. That's how 16-year-old California native Bryce Wettstein describes herself on her website. Since she was 13, Wettstein has been a rising star of the U.S. women's skateboarding team. She started skateboarding when she was only 5, but it seems she already knew it would be her life.
One time where my dad told me he was going to go skateboard in a pool somewhere, and I said, I kind of knew about skateboarding, and I was like, what do you mean you're going to go skateboard in a pool? And it ended up not being a pool that you swim in, but a pool that was drained of water, and it was actually a pool that you can skateboard in. And the whole time I'm just thinking, this can't be real. This isn't really happening.
Before dedicating her life to skateboarding, Bryce tried dancing, gymnastics, basketball, volleyball, and surfing. But it was skateboarding that became her true passion.
It's always there to captivate you. It's kind of like your other half in a way. And I realized that everywhere I went, it's never the same thing every day.
For Bryce's father, Max, a pilot by profession, skateboarding has always been just a hobby. Bryce's mother, Donna, wasn't too happy her daughter took up skateboarding. Too dangerous.
I wasn't really that stoked. I was glad that she was doing it, but I wanted her to experience a bunch of other things as well, you know, dancing.
Today, Bryce has her own ramp in her backyard. Her father spent 6 years and at least $25,000 to build it for her. Many say competitive skateboarding is similar to figure skating and gymnastics, a demanding physical activity with stunts and a panel of judges that assess performance. But Bryce says it's a very inspiring sport where one needs a lot of creativity as well.
Judges don't always judge on how difficult it is or the exact precise thing, because like when you're skateboarding, there's this element of innovativeness that everybody brings to this tabletop.
Wettstein, also is passionate about objecting to the stereotype that skateboarding is more suitable for men than women.
When girls are skating, they never have to look to someone else or try to fit.
Bryce's dream to make it to the Olympics is about to come true this July. She's one of Team USA's hope for a gold medal at the Tokyo Games.
If I ever got on the podium of the Olympics, honestly, I never have any words for it, because I think a lot of times you could just see that the tear ducts would unwrap and you just start crying.
But win or lose, Wettstein says taking part in the Olympics is the most important part for her. Skateboarding will include two disciplines. The first one is street skateboarding, which focuses on flat ground tricks, grinds, slides, and aerials within urban environments and public spaces. The second one is park skateboarding that takes place on special ramps. Among 80 sportsmen competing for medals, 16 are Americans. 16-year-old Bryce Wettstein won the 2019 National Championship for Women's Park and is widely seen as Team USA's top medal contender.
I want everybody this year to see that skateboarding can be everything, because a lot of times the things that emerge out of skateboarding are that you never really see the full picture of skateboarding when you have just one person, because so many people do it in a different way.
Maxim Moskalko for VOA News, Washington.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do be the first, you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Undefeated boxing champion Floyd Mayweather Jr. will be back in the ring Sunday when he fights fellow American Logan Paul at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. What kind of fight is this? That's the question I posed to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Sonny, it's called a special exhibition with a YouTuber in Logan Paul. It's a huge YouTube star. Special exhibition means an arrangee fight, if you want to use the Nigerian lingo, which means I can go in there and hurt you. But if you go the way we planned it, it will be an exhibition and everybody will go to the bank after it's all said and done. But if you go there and try to show me off, I have the power in stopping you and breaking your ribs. And that's Floyd Mayweather. So it's a special exhibition. But the fans are paying to see if this special exhibition will turn into a real fight, because there's been a lot of bad blood between the Paul family and Floyd Mayweather.
Namdi, this special exhibition between Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Logan Paul will be shown on Showtime pay-per-view television here in the United States. What do the pay-per-view numbers look like at this point?
The pay-per-view numbers, we may be laughing at this thing, but Sonny, we are looking at 2 million buys, because this Paul and his brother, Logan Paul, and Jack Paul, they are huge YouTube stars. They have followers in the millions, you know. Remember now, the pay-per-view is $50 a pop, you know. So if you times $2 million, you do the calculation there, Sonny, and it's going to happen at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. So we may be looking at a huge life gate plus pay-per-view of $2 million plus buy at $50 a pop. These guys are laughing to the bank Monday morning, Sonny. It's in Hollywood, we call it crazy paper, cash flow, bro.
Crazy paper, cash flow, bro. Well, they don't call him the money man for nothing, Namdi. Namdi, let's turn to the African fighters now. One prize fighter from Namibia and another one from Ghana, getting ready to get back in the ring in this month of June. Why don't you break down the two fights coming up for these African boxers?
Sonny, excited about these shows coming up, because these fights are going to be on ESPN and they are going to be from the casino in Las Vegas. We're talking about millions of eyeballs on a Saturday night, you know. The first one, June 12th at the Virgin Hotels in Las Vegas, Shakur Stevens against Jeremiah Nakatila. WBO Super Featherweight interim title on the line. Jeremiah Nakatila is from Walvis Bay, Namibia, with a record of 21-1-0 with 17 knockouts. He's a puncher. He can punch. And then I've seen a couple of his video. Yes, but most of his fights have been in Africa, so you can't really judge the level of competition. Shakur Stevens is 15-0, an Olympian, Sonny, you know that. And the big money is behind the American, Shakur Stevens. So homeboy from Walvis Bay, Namibia, he's not only fighting Shakur Stevens, he's fighting the promoter and the ESPN network. So he has to really step it up to win by knockout, because if he's very close, he won't get it. WBO Super Featherweight interim title on the table June 12th. Shakur Stevens and Jeremiah Nakatila from Walvis Bay, Namibia. June 19th, Royal Storm on his comeback. He will take Adam Blue Nose Lopez from Glendale in my backyard here. Who is Lopez? Lopez is not a bad fighter. 15 fights, 2 losses, and 6 KO. This will be a good showdown in the featherweight division, because homeboy Dogbe is really moving up. This will open the television telecast, the ESPN telecast, on June 19th from Virgin hotels in Las Vegas. So two Saturday nights of homeboys from Africa doing their thing, and we wish to them the best in the game.
Thanks, Namdi. That's Namdi Hollywood Moeta, who has been delivering verbal jabs over our Voice of America airwaves for nearly 40 years. And those verbal jabs still pack plenty of punch.
My name is Coach Ofori Asare, the head coach of the national boxing team of Ghana. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Coach Ofori Asare talked with Yao Afusu-Larbi about his boxing journey in Ghana. And Yao joins us now from the capital, Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. With utmost dedication and discipline backed by desire for his duty, Coach Asare, as he is popularly referred to by his team, initiates his daily routines with prayer, backed by a sense of nationalism and patriotism with either the national anthem or the national pledge. These words come from a man determined to produce the next boxing greats for Ghana and has strived in the past 30 years to achieve his goal. His quest to become a professional boxer was not accepted by his parents, but he went on to become a coach.
Because I'm not having the support I'm supposed to, because my parents doesn't like it, so I have to be doing things humanly. So I decided, okay, my coach always come and then call me. We arrive at a decision of, okay, come and help me coach, because I have taught you a lot and I will not let it go just like that.
To say he is steadfast is an understatement for the man who, after being disengaged from the sports that runs through his blood, didn't let prejudice get in the way of his dreams. Asare's superiors played a huge role in helping him stay focused.
Eddie Duplan, he was the one who brought up the interest of taking me to a coaching specialization in Hungary. Ray Kwaku also played a role for me to get the opportunity to go and train myself as a coach's trainer or an instructor.
He has been part of the country's boxing coaching contingent to several international tournaments, the latest being the Africa Games in 2019. Boxing is the nation's big hope. It has given the nation three medals, silver in 1960 in Rome, and two bronze medals in 1964 and 1972. Coach Asare is currently the coach of the Black Bombers and will be leading a team of three qualified boxers to the Tokyo Olympic Games. He hopes everything goes to plan and wins medals for Ghana.
The boxers that we are taking, or this time who have qualified, are also very committed and experienced. A boxer like Suleiman Tete has been to the Olympic Games before. Shakur Samer is from a boxing family. His father has been a boxer. His brothers has also been a boxers. And he's the current SWAG Award winner because of his medal at the All-African Games. In Samuel Techi, based on his commitment, he's able to beat the African number one to and get himself qualified. So you will see that the kind of boxers we are having now are boxers who, if we push them a little bit, they can get somewhere.
The country needs to move away from the orthodox way of running the sports if greater glory is sought in the future. And this can only materialize with a supportive financial rock.
Our GBA, GBF, and also those who have been able to work hard to create boxing clubs to allow the new system, new scientific system, to permit, so that we get our old glory back, and then we push boxing forward.
The time will come where Asare will be able to look back on a successful professional career with medals and glory, but already he has paved the way for a future generation to feel accepted in boxing gyms across the capital. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Turning to tennis, American star Serena Williams has advanced to the third round of the French Open as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Wednesday, American Serena Williams kept alive her hopes for a record-tying 24th Grand Slam singles title after she defeated Mihaela Buzărnescu of Romania in the second round. Serena won the match in three sets, and afterwards, the 39-year-old told reporters after dropping the second set, she needed to step things up in the third.
I had some really good chances in the second set to win that. If I'd have won just one point here and there, like four or five times, it would have been a different second set. So I knew going into third, I just have to zero in on those one important points. And if I could just take those, then it would be an easier time for me.
Serena will next face American Danielle Collins on Friday. Older sister Venus did not fare as well in her much-anticipated doubles partnership with fellow American Coco Gauff. The duo teamed up after Gauff's usual doubles partner suffered an injury last week. And on Wednesday, the team of Williams and Gauff put in a lot of work in the opening match that lasted over 2 hours. But after winning a tie break in the first set, the momentum shifted in favor of their opponents, Zheng Zaizai of China and Ellen Perez of Australia. But the loss has been overshadowed by comments Venus made during a post-match interview where reporters shifted their questions to Naomi Osaka's withdrawal from the tournament over mental health concerns. When Venus was asked how she deals with media attention, her answer went viral.
For me personally, how I deal with it was that I know every single person asking me a question can't play as well as I can and never will. So no matter what you say or what you write, you'll never light a candle to me. So that's how I deal with it. But each person deals with it differently.
Venus has won 14 major doubles titles with her sister Serena, including two at the French Open and most recently at Wimbledon in 2016. Meanwhile, Coco Gauff has reached the doubles quarterfinals twice, including at this year's Australian Open. And she is through to the second round in women's singles at Roland Garros. Also on the women's side, American Sloane Stephens defeated Spaniard Carla Suarez Navarro in three sets on Tuesday. Suarez Navarro returned to the court just over a month after declaring she had won her battle with cancer. She intended to quit the sport in 2020, but delayed ending her career due to the coronavirus pandemic. And after her opening match defeat, Suarez Navarro told reporters it was tough to make such an early exit at the French Open.
Every time I had on my mind that I want to be here, I want to come back. Roland Garros is one of my favorite tournaments, so I have really clear that my first tournament will be this one. I know that if I don't close the match in two sets, will be so difficult for me. But I'm really proud of myself. I'm really happy to have the chance to play here one last time.
Suarez Navarro says she hopes to play again at Wimbledon later this month and conclude her career at the Tokyo Olympics in July. Meanwhile, Sloane Stephens said it was good to see her opponent back on the court.
Obviously, she's been through a lot, and we're all happy that she's better and healthy and being able to play again, which I think obviously is the most important thing. And like I said, just having her around again. She's obviously been a staple on tour for so long, and we all love her and love having her around. So I think that was like nice to see her, nice to see a familiar face after the pandemic and everything she's been through. Obviously unfortunate to play her here because I feel like she's done well here. Clay is a great surface for her. So a tough matchup, but happy to be through.
Stephens just picked up a straight set victory against Czech's Karolina Pliskova to advance to the third round. And a quick update on the men's side. World number two Russian Daniil Medvedev quickly bounced back after dropping his opening set to defeat American Tommy Paul. Medvedev will next face American Riley Opelka in his third round match on Friday. That day will also feature fifth-ranked Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas and world number six German Alexander Zverev, who have both advanced to the third round. More tennis news to come. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the June 3rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.